Welcome to Steppin' Out, a reality radio show where you'll hear real people sharing their true stories of what it was like to go over the edge and find their way back. And now, Steppin' Out.
And welcome back. You're listening to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew. This is Steppin' Out. And once again, if you want to connect with us here at the show, you can visit our website at www.12stepmeeting.com. Also, if you or someone you know has a problem with gambling, here's the website, www.gamblersanonymous.org, and the phone number, 213-386-8789. So tonight's focus is on gambling, and I got handed this little sheet of paper before, and I think this is kind of interesting. Don't touch that button. We're talking about a disease that does not discriminate, can infect anyone, doctors, lawyers, cab drivers, stockbrokers, and ditch diggers. What say you? Say hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm David. I'm a compulsive gambler. And
how are you, David?
I'm doing okay now. I haven't gambled in a little bit over 5 years. Started gambling when I was about 6 years old. It took me a while to figure that out, but
What do you mean by six? I mean, what are we talking about?
I started playing. My dad taught me how to play poker when I was 6 years old, and we were playing for literally pennies.
Mm.
And my grandfather would come into town, and he would play, and it was a good family thing to do. And it took me a few years to figure out that normal 6-year-old kids go out and play and have other interests. And I stayed in, and all I wanted to do once I started, all I wanted to do every night was bug my father and get him to play cards with me.
Mm.
And the pennies became dimes, and all of a sudden the dimes became dollars. And he thought it was okay. I know my mother mentioned something about it, but we said, well, she just doesn't understand. And as it turned out, my dad had a bit of a problem, too, which I came to find out later on in life.
Self-admitted or just, did he ever come to terms with that?
He was an alcoholic, and when he started to deal with that, it actually hit him that he may have some other issues, too, and he started to bring up the fact that when I started to go to GA, we actually talked about the fact that he may have been a compulsive gambler as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would say I didn't always think back to when I was six. I used to think back, though, to when I was 12, because that's when I used to have poker games at my house. I'd have friends over,
mm-hmm.
and I use the term loosely because when I look back, all the friends that I had that I played poker with, I don't have anymore, not just because of the age, but once I moved on to harder drugs, so to speak, and gambling, to betting on football, to going to casinos, the friends that I had kept being the friends that liked to do those same kind of activities. And when I stopped gambling, all of a sudden I had nothing in common with these people anymore.
Isn't that interesting? So they're really the only common bond was the gambling.
Yeah. And when I got older, my bookies became my friends.
Mm.
Those became the people that I wanted to talk to and hang out with. And,
sure.
I was an athlete, so I hung out with the jocks in my school, but just when we were playing. But whenever there was a break practice, I would find a way to be gambling. And whenever I wasn't doing schoolwork, I would find a way to be gambling. I was the prototypical B student. I do just enough to get through school so that I could gamble. I do just enough to get the jobs to make the money so that I could gamble. And my whole life really revolved around gambling. It was amazing how many hours a day I would spend gambling, and it was amazing how many hours a day I would prepare to gamble when I wasn't gambling.
What, describe that. Describe the preparation.
I was thinking about that earlier, and I was a football gambler.
Okay.
I gambled on Sunday football. I didn't even know anything about college football. I was that specific.
Okay.
So I had 16, 17, 18 weeks a year, or days out of the year. Those are my big days to gamble on football. But the week went something like this. Sunday, of course, was a mess. Saturday night, I would be in my house. I was married part of the time. I had girlfriends that I lived with. I was single. I was whatever. And I would start the day off by looking at the paper, by listening to the Las Vegas radio reports, by reading the blue sheets and the gold sheets and everything having to do with the Sunday football games. I would watch ESPN. I would do everything I could, and I had graphs and charts, and it was ridiculous. I was just so encompassed by it. I mean, I knew all the weather reports. I knew the injury reports. I knew how the teams did the last three games. I knew how they played on grass. I knew how they – every single stat you could know, I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat in front of it like a mad scientist, and I figured out what was going to happen in each game the next day. And out of the so many games there were, I would always throw out one or two because I couldn't gamble on every game because then I wasn't being discerning. I would figure out what I was going to do, and by the time I went to bed, which was 2, 3 in the morning a lot of times, and this is in California when the games start at 10 a.m.,
right.
I knew exactly what I was going to bet on. I had my notes. I had the amounts of money I was going to bet. Everything was set. I went to bed. I woke up, and when I got up, I was in a panic because I didn't believe all the notes I took the night before.
Mm.
So minutes before the games, I would change my mind on everything. And I would start thinking, well, I'm not betting enough on this, or I'm betting too much on this, or maybe this team isn't going to win. And everything went out the window. So that's the insanity of it. Wow. All the preparation was for naught because I would just change my mind. I would call my bookie typically, and this is part of the thrill of it too, minutes before kickoff because I don't know what it was. I just wanted to just get in under the wire. And when I was on the phone sometimes, I would say, I want to bet X amount of dollars, and then I would change that amount and raise it right as we were speaking.
So first, you'd spend all this time, quote, handicapping,
mm-hmm.
all right? And then, in the last minute, just instinctually just go elsewhere. You'd just be like, okay, well, and that was part of the high.
Yeah, that was part of the high. And then whenever the 10 o'clock games began, the first half of the games began, I would watch the games as I started to research the next set of games, the 1 o'clock games. And that was the next 3 hours. It was getting ready for the next set of games, watching out of the corner of my eye to see if I was winning or losing. If I was winning, I was going to bet more money because I was up and I was on a high.
Right.
If I was losing, I was going to bet more money to
win it
back.
But you didn't care about the game, really. I mean, you cared about the score, but you didn't really care about the game. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the science of, or in your mind, the science of mastering this thing, of beating it.
Before I started, the interesting point that you mentioned is before I started gambling on football, before I started gambling on sports as a kid, I loved playing sports. I loved watching sports. I met a lot of athletes
right.
in what I was doing, but I didn't care anymore. Now it just became the red or the black. It just became if I was going to win or lose.
That's horrible.
And if I won a lot, I didn't a lot of times feel that I deserved it. And I would have to lose it back. And if I lost a lot, it was just everything I could do to get that money back.
Unbelievable.
And what would happen is after the Sunday, then there was a Sunday night game after the 1 o'clock games. And then after all that happened, Sunday night was either spent in just this terrible feeling of I'm ruining my life, but I've got Monday. And I can win it all back on Monday. Or, oh my God, look at all the money I won. I'm going to double it on Monday. And it wasn't rational. You know, why was I betting, say, for the sake of argument, $500 on per game on a game on Sunday, but then if I was up thousands on Monday, I would bet thousands on a game. Why was that game more important than any other game? Nothing really made sense. It was just getting – it was a high. I mean, if an alcoholic takes 10 drinks to get drunk or 8 drinks to get drunk or whatever it is, they're going to want – you know, eventually they're going to need more drinks to get drunk. And for me – I started off gambling just to give you – usually the money doesn't matter, but maybe here is a good time to bring it up. I was gambling $25 on football games, and it became 50, and then it was hundreds, and then it was thousands. And what happened was that high just – I could never – I did try to stop. I stopped gambling. You know, as Mark Twain says, it's easy to stop. I stopped 1,000 times.
Hmm.
I stopped gambling I can't tell you how many times where I took weeks off, and I said, I'm not going to gamble this week. And then I said, great, I'm cured. But I knew from a young age that I had a problem.
But how were you financing this?
I worked really hard. I was a workaholic, too. I worked 80-hour weeks, and I did what I could, and I owned my own businesses. And I built up, as a young man, I built up a few businesses and made a lot of money. And what I did was I ended up spending 14, 16-hour days at work where I was running my shops most of the time and in the back looking at my sheets the rest of the time. And I was married. I'd get home at 2 o'clock in the morning. My wife never saw me. It was always because I was working late. The reason I was working late is because I was gambling all day when I should have been concentrating on work.
That's horrible. I mean, just the you just sound completely driven and obsessed.
I was like in my own prison. I built the prison. I had the key, but I didn't want to leave.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. What did your wife say to this?
She knew I had a problem. Came up in counseling when we were getting our divorce. Gambling led to me losing my wife eventually, led to me losing my house, a beautiful house that I had built, led me losing a couple of businesses and the respect of everybody that knew me. And that got me to stop the first time.
David, man, this is the thing that's really, we were talking about it during the break, and what I found to be exquisitely painful for you is, as an athlete, for you to lose the drive to even care about the game. The game didn't matter to you. This just became black or white, as you said, you know? And the other thing was that, completely playing to lose. So if you had a great day on Sunday, you'd go and blow it all on Monday. You know, and the notion of that, I mean, it's just, it's horrible. I mean, what happens next, man?
Well, I think about the kind of person that I became, and that is, I did love sports as a kid. I loved it. I loved going out in the field. I loved the smell of the grass. I loved everything about it. And now I'm just, stuck in my house, not wanting anyone to come in and talk to me, unplugging the phones, watching the games, not caring about any of the human beings in the games. In fact, if somebody got injured and they were on the other team, that was fantastic.
Right.
So what kind of a human being wants to see other people get hurt, you know? And it's a compulsive gambler. And that's what I became. So I had these weeks where that was the week. Now, Monday comes around, and I'm either winning it back or I'm doubling it, and then feeling bad that the bookie has to come and pay me because he's now my friend.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, those are the days I start thinking about the next week. It's an ongoing thing. Those were the worst days of the week, by the way. It wasn't the losses on Sunday or Monday. It was the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday where I wasn't betting.
Really?
That was awful.
Well, because you didn't have anything to distract you from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I wasn't a well person. I didn't like who I was. I had a lot of issues, and it would take five shows to get into that. But all the issues that I had, I just didn't want to look at myself in the mirror and deal with myself. So meanwhile, I'm losing money, and money was what I was focusing on. But I was losing time. And I wished that I had bet 10 times the amounts that I had bet, because maybe I would have beaten myself up and hit rock bottom sooner than I did. I look back and I say, my God, I gambled. I'm 39 years old now, and I started when I was 6, and I came in the program when I was 32 for the first time. And I say, I gambled most of my life. And I wish that it would have happened sooner. I wish I would have beaten myself up sooner.
Mm.
And by the way, those weren't happy years, I had highs and lows. I lived my life at on a scale of 1 through 10. I was a 1 or a 10 all the time. And that's no way to live. And my physical health was, deteriorated from. I was in great physical shape. I was, all I did all day was work, gamble, go to the gym. That was it. My social life was a zero. I'm 32 years old when I come in the program. I don't know anything about relationships. I don't know anything about friendships.
About your marriage at that time?
My marriage, wow. I fell in love with someone who, again, surface. She was beautiful, she was sweet, and I knew nothing about her.
Wow.
And I knew her for 6 months. We got married. On my wedding day, my father, who I was closer to him than anybody in my life, came up to me and said, "No matter what happens, we still love you." Which made me think, what is he talking about?
Mm.
What does he think he sees? He must be insane. Meanwhile, on my wedding day, I'm on my cell phone making bets. Minutes before I went out on the stage and minutes before we got married.
Wow. And he saw this. He knew this was your undoing.
Well, I don't know what he knew. He had addictions of his own. And I always felt, I think like most compulsive gamblers feel, I felt that it was hidden. I felt that nobody could see it because I wasn't, so to speak, falling down drunk. I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't, for whatever reason,
right.
I didn't really drink. For whatever reason, I never did a drug in my life. I was an athlete again, and it was so important to keep my body a certain way, but gambling was fine. So I was killing myself, mentally. And I felt that no one could see this. I felt that I had it hidden so well. Yet when I actually joined the program, I called an old friend of mine and I told him I joined GA. And this is a buddy of mine from years back. And he started, this is a guy, 350-pound linebacker, and he's crying on the phone because I finally got help.
Wow.
And I said, how does he know? How did he have any idea? And he said, we all knew.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you were the last to know.
Yeah. The fact that I wanted to commit suicide just about every day of my life wasn't an indicator to me. I just thought that that's how I was. I thought that that's how I was just born, and there was something wrong with me, and I was never happy. But as long as I was in action, it didn't matter. Happy or sad didn't matter. It didn't exist. It was just about being juiced up. So, you know, I could go through a terrible day knowing there would be a fantastic day right around the corner. And I use those words, you know, facetiously, because it was neither. I was just a shell. I was just hollow. There was nothing inside of me. There was no personality there. You know, I couldn't love because I didn't love. I didn't love myself. And I was just, you know, I was just a machine. I got up. I went to the gym. I went to work. I gambled. I worked some more. I gambled some more. I got home. I fell asleep, exhausted. Woke up, did it all over again. And that was my life for so many years.
How'd you break the cycle?
You know, everybody has some kind of story of some day that's just a little bit worse than another day, or maybe just a little bit different. And as I said, I was a football gambler, and I concentrated on football. And by the way, it's funny saying that because I probably went to casinos 40 out of 50 weekends of the year. But yet I didn't consider myself a casino gambler. And I played in underground poker games that lasted from when we got off work, maybe 6, 7, 8 at night, sometimes 9 at night we would start. By the way, those were the nights that I actually got off work early.
Yeah, yeah.
I found a way to get my work done. And those would last till 7, 8 in the next morning. And then unshowered, no food, would go right back to work. So I did those too a couple times a week. And I never really thought that was a problem. You know, that was a social thing because now I had people around me. That was great. I actually had friends. But what happened was I started adding to my gambling. Football season was only part of the year, and football season was only a couple days a week. So I started to bet on other things. I started to bet on baseball and basketball, and I bet on like Olympic luge one day just because there was nothing else to do.
You can bet on luge?
Well, if you have addicts for friends, you can. If you have addicts for friends, you can bet on cockroach races.
That's like betting
races.
On curling or something, you know? Like.
No, and kidding aside, I bet on cockroach races in college. We had a crappy dorm room, and we actually painted with liquid paper different colors on the cockroaches, and we raced them. But no, I actually started to bet on college basketball, which I knew nothing about. I never really followed college sports. And the first day I bet on it, I won. And that's the worst thing that can happen to a compulsive gambler. So I bet more and more and more, and everything got exponentially crazier. And I ended up winning a lot of money until I made my bet so high on college, I decided I was going to get every dollar I had, and I was going to just try to break the bank. And I bet on 7 games. There were 8 games one day, and I bet on 7 because one of them I wasn't sure about. And as the day went on, I watched one game after another lose. And by the 5th game, I knew I was going to lose the 6th and 7th. And I wrote the check out to my bookie because I was such a good client, he took my checks. And I put it in the mail before the 6th and 7th games even started, knowing I was going to lose. Got my remote control, threw it as hard as I could at the wall, splashed it in a million pieces, started crying, and just sat on the corner of my bed in my underwear because, by the way, I hadn't got up. I hadn't showered. I hadn't left the room. I locked my door. I hadn't eaten anything all day. Just sitting on the corner of my bed, crying. And that was the day that I said, my God, I need help.
And how did you come to find Gamblers Anonymous?
I had heard about it before. I knew about the number, and I called a 1-800 number for my local area, and I got on the phone with someone who had been there and was willing to help me because someone had helped him.
Mm.
And that's what I try to do today, because someone had helped me, so now it's time for me to help other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, that number is 213-386-8789. The website, www.gamblersanonymous.org. David, thank you so much for being with us. You are listening to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew. This is Stepping Out.